Waging War on Corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
You know, I've wanted Trump to succeed. I know every doubt has as well. And I know most of the listeners are very intelligent and informed. That's why you tune in. Not because you don't already know this, but you want to tune in to hear what else, you know, we have to say and kind of have a mental debate. I love callers. I love guests because I learn things from them. We bounce things off. It takes us to a higher level of understanding. But if anybody who's ever studied history, this is like baked in. 2 years ago at the World Government Forum in Dubai, Elon Musk addressed him and he said, I know at the end of a cycle, we always have a war, but we can't do that because of nuclear weapons, plus there's 10 million people and all the studies that will cause mass migration and many wars, and even the elites will all be killed. So we need stability, which is why the old game of the nobles when they had uprisings to have a war with each other can't be done anymore. And the best example of this is the 100-year war between the Norman cousins, who were just Vikings that took over France and most of Europe and had taken over William the Conqueror before. And so for 100 years, they have a war, and there's letters between them. The real troops are dying, real people are being killed, but they are doing it to stop uprisings at home. Okay, so in fact, I just read another book. I'll listen to it on tape. I never have time to read anymore when I'm driving. A great book I want to do a review of on the 100-year war. Because I was listening to a book and tape. But the point is that they're doing this to be the victors, to be the saviors, to control things, to be in charge of the next system. Well, we know the next system, a global cashless society, austerity, feudalism, control. Trump was the promise of going against that. And at many levels did, killing the carbon tax, you name it. But starting about 10 months ago when Elon left and then Charlie Kirk died a few months later, things changed dramatically. And I think it's clear that the Israel lobby that's always been powerful saw the Democrats collapsing, sees the fourth turning, and is really trying a hostile takeover of the United States. And then to commit us to war and somehow bind us together, believing we'll come out on top. It is true megalomania. So just big picture, Edward, I know you like to get into just facts. But overall, how would you quantify or give a summation of where we're at right now with all of this hysteria? And how would you riff off of what I just said?
Yeah, basically, you know, 6 years ago, the global economy was rolling over and there was going to be a global financial crisis. COVID magically appeared and the Federal Reserve and other central banks printed Federal Reserve did $6 trillion, handed out stimmies, and they kicked the can down the road. Here we are 6 years later, and that stimulus has worked its way through the system. The Fed has raised interest rates. We're now in a contracting credit situation. And there's another crisis coming. So, you know, how do you distract or paper over these crises, war, aliens, you name it. You can't blame the system. You can't blame the policymakers. And that's where we are. And that's why you see all this madness and mayhem. Trump had an opportunity to be honest with the American people, talk about what he was going to do, get rid of the fraud. What I find super interesting, Alex, is Elon was kicked out. I was like you. I was super excited at the beginning.
And then all of Trump's enemies, Zuckerberg, all of them were brought in.
Yeah. And all this fraud was amazing to us in Doge. And next thing you know, it shut down. And I think what they discovered is, I think they're tackling the fraud, but they're doing it slowly. Because if you shut off the fraud too quickly, the economy collapses. Because a big contributor to our economy is fraud. That's the sad fact.
Well, that's what the New York Times told Trump last year. They said, don't declare the drug cartels terrorists. That'll crash the stock market.
You can't. I mean, this is where we are. We can't have a stock market where it is and people happy because there needs systemic fundamental change.
But it sounds like you just said Trump is the lesser of two evils. And I am seeing real signs of him cutting off the drug money, cutting a lot of the fraud. But Elon, they thought, was doing a little too quick.
Yeah, that's what I think. And, you know, I'm not in the room, but I just sit outside and watch what people do and not what they say. But once Elon was kicked out, everything shifted. And if you look at the deportations, the mass deportations have not come. In fact, the numbers of deportations under Trump were, I think, lower than, Obama and Biden in one year.
But they were still exactly. But now they're even lower than what he was doing 6 months ago. So now they're slowing more.
Correct. So it's slowing more. The good news is they stopped the border. So like that's a second derivative change. So there's no more flooding the zone with these people. But there seems to be this, let's manage this process. because they know if you start deporting millions of people and those people get, you know, turned off from their fraud spigots, the economy is going to take a hit on that. Now, that my biggest problem with all this is, you know, we have to have some short-term pain for long-term gain. There seems to be no appetite for any short-term pain and by anyone in the administration. And Trump,
exactly. So what would you do to get, what would you tell Trump? Because he should be more concerned about not doing the shock therapy or whatever you want to call it, because obviously if this continues, it's far more dangerous than the short-term pain.
Right. Look, if I could go, if I was his right-hand man day one, I'd tell him to implement all the policies that he promised us, that this would cause economic pain, to communicate that with the American people and talk about what's coming on the other side. Reagan had a similar situation. Reagan had a double dip recession in 81 and 82. Then his policies took hold, and then we ripped, and we had an amazing recovery.
And he told the public it's going to take a few years.
Correct. So this was not done. It's an opportunity lost. Trump is going to, unfortunately, you know, own what's coming. I mean, it's not all his fault, but, you know, it doesn't matter. At this point, 2 years in, he's going to own it.
Sure, I totally agree with you. Totally on target. Next level. The Israel thing. You know, I don't fetishize bashing Israel, but clearly they're really trying to put their dick on the table right now. What happened there? Is it just that Netanyahu's been convicted and indicted? He just needs a crisis? I mean, this is mad dog behavior by Israel.
Well, I put out a post in August of 24 before the election, saying that if I were the globalists, I would embrace MAGA and bridle them and infiltrate or bribe my way into the Trump administration. And, you know, that seems to have happened because, look, at the beginning of the war, let's go with what happened on day one of the war. Both Rubio and Trump said they did it because Israel was going to do it anyways. So let's go back to day one. They've changed their story since then, but it seems like they were dragged into this by Israel.
Israel struck first. Israel drug us. And Israel, every time he has a ceasefire, attacks to break it. No, that's a true statement by Rubio.
Yeah. So here we are. We're involved in this, you know, this is going to end up being a strategic disaster. Well, let's talk about the war for a second. It's an analyst that I follow that gives me, you know, free access to his newsletter. He's a global war expert. He's been giving us information for like 4 years. He called this platforms versus projectiles, and that we have all these platforms, carriers, planes, bases, systems. And Iran has projectiles because Iran has no ambition to take over other countries. Those projectiles are designed to protect the homeland. They're cheaper. They can be mass produced. They're drones now. So all our platforms are at risk from these projectiles. And that's why there's, you know, as much as Trump talks about the Navy's gone, this is gone, that's gone, the projectiles and the missile capability and the drone capability are not. And here we are. And we're going to stay that way for a long time. Plus, you know, so the Navy's gone, but you can drop mines with
they got missiles and artillery. It's only 12 miles across. Anybody with a basic first grade understanding of military stuff knows they would always control it unless you got regime change. And the Pentagon told Trump this was going to happen, but he didn't listen to them.
Right. So, you know, look, the best thing that could happen is if, you know, Trump declares victory and we withdraw and they open up the thing. Absent that, this is only going to cause a global energy crisis. You know, look, I'm being kind. You know, our projections are for a deep global recession. But
I was about to say, how much is baked in 70 days into this already? How much? I mean, if it all stopped today, how bad will it be?
It's like the 73 oil embargo, okay? The stock market didn't react until 6 months after the embargo ended. So the damage is done and it's rolling through the system. People think the stock market is like this great forecasting mechanism. It's not. It's people in equities are the dumbest people on the planet compared to fixed income.
Exactly. I mean, it's downstream from big events, right?
It's downstream. You know, let's look at what happened in 08. Most people don't remember this, but we had a housing crisis. Bear Stearns blew up in March of 08. But what people don't remember is, you know, the big investing theme after the dot-com bubble was energy and China growth. And oil went from like $90, $95 to $140 up into June July of 08. That was a mini oil shock, and that's when the wheels really fell off the bus and accelerated. We have a dot-com bubble, a housing bubble, and now an oil price shock. Oh, and I haven't even talked about China. China is an absolute disaster. Mm-hmm.
I hear the Trump admin saying, oh, China's in trouble. We're great. And Rubio, who cares? We have our fertilizer. The rest of the world doesn't. It all is interconnected. That is, I mean, as much as I don't like to comment Chinese, I don't want them to implode. They'll definitely take us with them. Where is the, I mean, I'm not an economist like you, but this is basic stuff. I knew this when I was 10 years old.
China is in trouble. They're hitting the acute phase of their real estate crisis. They're in a demographic decline, the likes of which is scary. It's 10x bigger than the demographic decline that happened in Japan. So what have they been doing since their demographic decline started in 2020? They've been exporting their way out of it because internal consumption is faltering. So to keep their GDP growth going and keep people employed, they're dumping products onto the markets. And that's why we have these trade wars. So they're exporting deflation, and that can't stand because they'll ruin the economies of everybody else. So now we're at the point where the acceleration of the real estate crisis is really hitting.
And what will China do when the back's against the wall? The hardline generals will be in control. They'll invade Taiwan as a diversion.
Absolutely, because let me tell you what's going on. There were reports coming out, and this coincides with our economic data. But we just got the March data. We put out a report in January. We just got the March data for China. All our trends are accelerating negatively. Net fixed investment went below zero for the first time.
You're talking about, let me stop because this is so important. You have the